Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Challenge All-Stars for Half Up Podcast for Episode 6. I am Brian Cohn. With me, as always, my co-host, Alice. How are you?
I'm great. Glad to be back. Happy to be with you for the first time in, what, like 3-4 weeks, talking about the greatest challenge franchise going on, All-Stars 2.
Yeah, so, as you mentioned, it's been a few weeks since we discussed All-Stars. So, what have you... been a few big moments the last couple of weeks. What, do you have any overarching thoughts on everything that's gone down?
Didn't you listen to the podcast I did, Brian?
Besides last week, I guess. That's true.
I also mentioned a few thoughts from the prior season episode. I mean, the question to me is sort of like Derek. That's like kind of crazy. I'm a little bit surprised that Derek is sort of the Rob analog. I mean, Derek's been at it a little bit less time, but it's still, I think, a good comparison, and people kind of suggest if Rob came back on Survivor, would he be voted off immediately? Would people want to like suck up to him because he's got sort of this like help, this platform that could help you have longevity? But Derek going out early is, we talked about this a lot last season, that like he kind of needs a good finish here. Poor showing for Derek.
Yeah, it's an interesting point because he did well last time. So there was no target on him the first time out. I guess the second time out there was, but obviously the first time around he did okay. I think it's probably more just maybe he had more vulnerable this time around without Mark, and maybe they seemed to be able to take a shot at him. I felt like that was more of the bigger thing.
It's all the Nehemiah stuff. Like, Nehemiah is in a great position, and I think that kind of takes us to this episode. But he the last few episodes, he's really put himself in an incredible social position in the house, and he had his, like, Derek in the crosshairs, and he got what he wanted.
Yeah, Nehemiah's been super fun. I think far and away, he's probably been, like, the MVP of this season. He's just been all over the place in making involved in a lot of the big decisions, doing well in challenges, eliminate, like, everything. Like, he's just been all over the place in like a very good way, very entertaining way. So I think he's been a standout star for this season.
And then we get, you know, the three kings expanding officially. Yeah, yep. To bring in Melinda officially, the four horsemen or the three kings and the one queen. And it was really fun to see Nehemiah, Letarian, Tech and Melinda dance and celebrate the wins. And then to have Letarian be like, "You can imagine how fun these people are if I'm dancing. You saw me last season, right?" Like, I loved that.
Yes, very like a Big Brother HOH, like in the storage room vibes of them celebrating and dancing, especially with the fact that they are named very Big Brother-y, like, too. So a lot of positivity in that room going around.
Well, then we have this conversation with, or really the confessional. I mean, you talked about this, but Brad's been getting some very interesting confessionals, and he sort of says, like, it's a bummer to not be on the same page with, like, my friend Nehemiah. We see a few episodes ago the image that still lingers in my brain with Nehemiah wearing the hair extensions as a beard to support Brad. But it did feel like sort of like Chekhov's confessional. And I thought it was maybe going to pay off this episode. It looks more like it's going to pay off next episode. That there's sort of this reckoning between old friends just happening to be on different sides of the house.
Yeah, especially because they really laid it out that basically like the amount of people voting is even smaller than we would even anticipate. So it does seem like there's going to be a point where either Brad or Nehemiah is going to be forced to vote in the other person. It's maybe like against the other person or against another friend. Like it does seem to be that reckoning coming in one way or another between the two of them.
Before we get to the episode proper and break down the pairs and all of that, it's going to be interesting to discuss. Can we first like set the stage of the sides of the house? Because I do think there are like very clear sides of the house that we haven't really been able to tee up because we haven't been here, which is my fault. But
yeah, so
I'm curious. So, so
on one side is, as you mentioned, the four horsemen, three kings and a queen, the Nehemiah, Latarian, Tech and Melinda side of it. And then the other side is Brad, Darrell, Janelle, and then who like is firmly because who else is firmly entrenched with the three of them?
So there's Kahuta, MJ, Janae, Jasmine, who all Jody also seems to be on that side.
Jody definitely, yeah.
Kendall via Darrell.
Yeah, like I wasn't sure where the Cancun pair fell with them. I couldn't tell where Tyler fell. Like it seemed like they were like in it with them, but not like firmly in it with them. But this episode made it seem like they were all as like a larger group together.
Yeah, because especially we see Melinda last week sharing her story with MJ and Janae. But I do think like going into this episode, it does kind of seem like Ayana's with the Four Horsemen via Tech.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like everybody else is sort of more on the other side of things. Tyler, I think, is the unclear one because like everyone's been sort of nominating him as a pawn. But otherwise,
right. Yeah, but where the other Casey person fall? Is because Casey like made the move to get it was part of that to get Derek. So like where does she fall? Like she's with Kahuta now. So maybe that pushes it towards.
So maybe
the
it's
Brad
really
side,
three.
But
maybe it's like three as we arrive, because it's also like Derek and Jarrell were linked, and Brad is the one who takes Derek out. It's not his fault, but he's sort of like weaponized right to take him out. But yeah, that's interesting. So maybe it's really like going into this episode, it's the three horsemen plus Melinda. I combined all the names. The four horsemen, aka the three kings plus Melinda. On the other side, it's Brad and Darrell, Janelle, Kendall via Darrell, everyone kind of via Darrell, Darrell in the middle, Ayana on the left. I'm saying left. I can see myself like with the two ends. So sorry.
Right.
Four horsemen and Ayana. Let's say that. Four horsemen and Ayana. Yes. On the other side is Darrell is the center of the spoke with Janelle, Brad. They're starting to pick up Jody last week.
Yes.
That kind of connection. Kendall. And then there's this other faction of MJ, Janae, Jasmine, Kahuta, Casey. And I think they all sort of go to against the four horsemen in this episode.
Right. But they would probably seemingly be more in the middle. Like if the wind started to blow towards the four horsemen, they would go that way potentially. But it almost seems like the winners are breaking down and the elimination winners are breaking down. It does seem like being in the middle might be the worst spot to be, because you're kind of just going to be forced to go in. So it is an interesting spot the way this house is set up.
And last week, I do think like they were mad at Darrell and Jody, right? Because there was like this room, I didn't think you'd put me up. And I think MJ and Kahuta were a part of that. So I do think like based on the rooms, they're sort of more on the Darrell side, but with some flexibility.
Yes, there is some flexibility with some of the middle people in that. So which is good. It offers up different possibilities, which is why we get to it. But I didn't really like how this new shakeup is going down with these pairs.
It's tough, right? Because it's like in a season like last season where like people were just like voting in and being all proper and whatever, like then a shakeup is good. It's hard to anticipate. And it's like, I don't think they can really change it up and be like, we're going to switch on the fly. But yeah, it's sort of like Survivor this season when they did the one tribe goes to two tribes just for one tribal council. It was like the worst possible time, because that could have been a really interesting tribal council if the entire tribe was together. You kind of can anticipate that these people are playing like a really awesome cutthroat game. There are factions, mm-hmm. there's flexibility. It would just be interesting as is. They don't need to change it, but probably more than half the time, we'd appreciate a twist like this.
Right. All very true. It just so happened that the people, the individuals were willing to move between alliances, seemingly cut people that were strong, being strong competitors. But now the way it's set up, it almost takes away a lot of the strategy, because kind of how they mentioned, with between all the lifesavers that are floating around, that there you got the elimination winner. You can only vote in two people. There's only a certain amount of people voting. There's not a lot of flexibility anymore to make moves and to offer different options, just because now everyone's paired together.
At the risk of admitting that I'm an idiot, I didn't realize that if you use the lifesaver, you sacrifice your vote.
No, I was right there with you. I didn't I didn't put that together either. Nor did I think it was that big of a deal. But I guess as you get down to numbers, obviously your vote matters even more. So it does make sense.
There's this conversation Janelle and Tyler have, which is sort of the first we're seeing from Janelle in a while. Very worried about Tyler in this conversation, I like and I appreciate that he's recognizing that he's vulnerable, even though he's been a pawn. It's like, if somebody's willing to put you up as a pawn multiple times, once their targets leave, you're next up. And I think it's good game sense, at least, that Tyler's recognizing that.
Yeah, that was a very troubling conversation for Tyler's future in the game, just as it was. You never want to hear, I've been really impressed with how this person has been doing in challenges. I didn't expect much, but they really surprised me. And that's what we got about Jasmine from John A. So the tentacles are going off about Tyler and Jasmine as a pair, or even as individuals before they were paired together. Going into this one,
I know the edit of this episode was tough, because there was no second story. Like, once Tyler and Jasmine became a partnership, it was like, okay, either they win this challenge and defy all odds, and that's why we got the first half of this episode saying how much they suck, mm-hmm. or they are going home. Just was no story. Letarian's story was not such that he was leaving. And so I was a little disappointed with that the edit was a little obvious this episode, but still a good episode. But I was like, okay, I can't even expect that there's a possibility. I can't entertain another possibility.
Right. And then we even, not that we could have anticipated this, but we got the little glimpse of Kendall, who was such a big face of this season last year, that she really has been invisible up until it. And I guess the reason why was because she, has to go home early from an injury. And we got a little bit of a glimpse as to her life back home before she has to do that.
So we got a question about that room.
The FaceTime room?
Yeah. Mike said, please talk about the mural in the room with the iPad.
You're going to have to paint a picture.
It was like a 90s graffiti-esque. There's a portrait of TJ. It was very bizarre.
I feel like that was probably trying to give off old school Real World House vibes, because I feel like they used to have that type of stuff in all the Real World houses. So I'm going to guess that's what they were going for.
I didn't dislike it. It was just very funny to have this graffiti portrait of a bunch of stuff. And then it's sort of TJ, the scale was weird. It was a little small, but also too big. It was very strange.
Very interesting.
But yeah, I liked seeing that from Kendall. It was sweet. Coach Cooper. Sorry, my notes are on my phone, which they're normally not. And I just put my phone down, forgetting that I was holding it. You do that where it's like, oh, mm-hmm. I'm rude. I'm holding my phone. No, it's literally I'm looking at my notes. Okay, sorry. But all right, let's talk about the pairs. You sound like you were not thrilled.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't thrilled for a couple of reasons. A, I just really loved the vibe of this season, the individual setup. People were playing individual games, but also in larger groups with jumping in and out. The setup was just so entertaining that I wasn't expecting a shakeup, because it just didn't seem necessary. And then again, in classic challenge format, they do it in a way where you can't prepare for it. You get the setup for the challenge how they normally do. It's okay, you're playing in pairs, everyone pick a pair, and then TJ at the end of the challenge just announces that this is who you're with for the rest of the season.
Yeah, the one good thing is it does seem like the eliminate. Now it's unclear because Kendall gets eliminated, but it's like, I did hope, okay, well, I hope the eliminations are still individual and then it's like a partner switch up, which is what this would have been tonight, I think, had Kendall come back. So, like, I think we can rely on the fact that they're going to still be individual eliminations. Do you agree with that?
Oh, I don't. I think the only reason why, So you think
the winners of the eliminate,
do you think they'll get to pick their partner or do you think they'll just be automatically paired together?
No, I think they'll automatically be paired together.
Okay. That's interesting.
I would love them to have a pick, but I think then Letarian would have gotten a pick.
So I don't think they'll get the pick. I think it would be a paired. I think it's going to be paired eliminations and just both pairs go home together. That's how it might read. It would just so happen to be that Kendall was gone. So it was like, okay, Jasmine, you just happen to get the winner.
So you thought it was going to be a co-ed pole wrestle of like men, then women, then men, or women, then women.
Yeah, like a men's heat and then a women's heat. And if it's a tie, you know, flip the coin.
So that sucks. Because I do think it should be still an independent elimination, especially given the way that they made the teams. Like, yeah, like you're saying, it would have just been so easy to say it's now going to be pairs the rest of the season matchup. Because I do think taking it on the chin to be with a less than ideal partner in a one challenge is way different than thinking that that's going to be your partner the rest of the season.
The one thing, yeah, I totally agree, but the one thing I'll say is at least they did it. You know, it's far enough into the season. This is episode 6. I've done, you know, a few dailies now. There's established relationships. So, like, I feel like a lot of the pairs would have been picked this way anyway. So, like, that's the one plus is, like, a lot of them people are paired with who they would want to be with. Like, Melinda and Nehemiah makes sense. Brad and Jody, like, makes sense. Darrell and Janelle makes sense. Like, a lot of these people probably would have picked each other anyway. But I just wish they just didn't have to do that.
So you're right. And especially Tyler later says what I was thinking in the beginning is like, how are people even knowing that there are teams some days, pairs some days, individual some days, like, how are you not, you're bored in the house. How are you not having a conversation of like, oh, if this week's challenge is a pair, we should be a partnership. Like, even just having that conversation. So I do think to your point, and Tyler says that later, a lot of those pairs are predetermined. I just think like, it might be harder in a way that CT has no problem like deflecting Cam or whatever with cockiness. I do think some of these vets would have a harder time if Tyler, it really only comes down to Tyler, but if Tyler was more aggressive and like grabbed Jody or grabbed John A or grabbed Janelle, like when they're only thinking it's, I guess they would be thinking it's 50. I don't know. Like I do think it, like people should know what they're doing. You're right. Maybe it wouldn't have made that big of a difference.
Yeah, I just wish, you know, if they're going to do this, I just don't see why they wouldn't just tell them before this challenge, like, pick your partner and pick wisely, because who you pick for this challenge is who you pick for the rest of the season. Just do that. And just at least just tell them that. Like, I don't know. It always comes back to, I just wish on the challenge people were able to make decisions with as much information as possible, especially this drastic of a decision. Although given the challenge, I know they say the pair for the rest of the season, but I mean, who knows? The final could be individual again. So you never know.
When it comes to the Tyler part of it, the most interesting situation was Casey, that he has a partnership with Casey, which honestly, Casey and Jasmine, it's like not that big of a difference to me in ability, in demonstrated ability. Casey, I think, has the edge, but I don't think it's like a lock. But Casey rejects Tyler because Cutta comes over and is like, good decision. That was very, Kahuta's like not reading great to me this season.
It's Killa Kahuta. It's Killa Kahuta. What are you going to do? It's Killa Kahuta.
I think I would rather be with Tyler.
Oh, I absolutely would rather be with Tyler. Tyler, really, if I was a woman on the show, I feel like Tyler would be one of my top two or three picks. Like he's a beast. Like I know he happened to lose this elimination, but he's an incredible swimmer. He great with Paul. Like he is a very, very strong competitor.
Well, I'm not sold on him with puzzles as of late, given that Jasmine's role was the puzzle and they like ate it on the puzzle. But that's, you know, one puzzle isn't demonstrative and he has a track record. But I was very, very surprised. I think it's just a showing of how strong everyone is on this season, particularly the men. That they're really, maybe you'd think Tech, because he's so slim, But Ayana just like Evan loves tech. So it's like no one's going to look elsewhere. But I was very, very surprised to see Tyler be last pick. And I don't think it's representative of his ability at all.
No, but like we kind of said, it's kind of representative of where he stands in the house. Like if everyone's OK with him being the pawn kind of on both sides, then no one's really that close with him. So no one is going to go pick him. So kind of fits.
I loved MJ and Jhené here. Like they're obviously getting very, very close in the house. And MJ like grabs her and then is like, now, is that OK with you? Like, it's very sweet. Right. I mean, I'm under MJ's spell. MJ can fully get it. I love MJ, but I just also love that like fake, like, is that okay with you? Like this other, like, it's like, yeah, it's, I'm very okay being with like a ginormous man that I have a great working relationship with.
Yeah. And I mean, Jhené is a great pick to be with too. I mean, she's great relationships in the house, you know, probably should have won the final last season if they broke it down smartly. So, she's great to be with.
Are you shipping Ayana and Tech? If Kyle Picard was doing a drinking game for this, I'd be curious. Right?
I mean, they're giving off very positive vibes too. I mean, Ayana she just wants to look at Tech. That's great.
I'm here for it. That was surprising to me, but I loved it.
Yeah, we love to see it.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
So what do you think of this challenge? I thought the jumping, the choice between the 30 feet and the 15 feet was interesting.
Yeah, I like, again, like give them the choice. Like I always appreciate seeing them make the choice and like their reasoning for it. We see what could happen if you jump from 30 feet. I mean, it cost Kendall her entire game. So like I can see, understand it for like Jasmine and KC. Like I'm just not going to risk it. I'd rather just take my safety and swim from there. So like I think it was a reasonable thing to put in front of them. And I think people that chose to jump from 15 feet, like it was detrimental. Like it cost time to jump down, but like if you get banged up, it might take you even more time to swim. So I think it was fine.
Yeah, I thought it added an interesting layer. I am starting to think, though, potentially the All-Star challenges are too, quote, easy. I don't think they're easy, but like there's really like no differentiation at this point. It's like two people are standouts. One person can't do it well. I think they almost need to increase the difficulty a little bit. Like maybe these people are just like coming at a better physical level, coming more prepared than last season as the whole on the whole. But remember the first challenge last season, like it was a disaster. But maybe they've overcorrected a bit because like the first challenge with the pole and Ayana falls off. Everybody else just kind of like skates to the end. This did feel a little bit like, oh, everyone's doing a fine job. And it got a little boring.
Yeah, it's, you know, yeah, I totally agree. I think the first challenge, I don't know if it changed their like the producer's mind because like that was such a disaster. But I agree. I think they've maybe gone too far in the other way. You know, we've seen people get eliminated just because like their piece floats too far away or like the puzzle like they take too much time on. So Yeah, I think they could step it up a little bit. It seems like they might do that next week, although that next week's challenge seems very challenge proper like. So I know you. That's
one I'm very, very worried about next week's challenge. I have to tell you.
I usually like those more than you, but I think it'll be better because it's not like normally when challenge proper do it, they do it with like 45 teams. So you see it like so many times. I think there's not that many teams doing it. So I think it could be okay.
I am very worried that it's like, so for anyone who didn't watch the next week on, it's like cars and trucks and like whatever. Yeah, yeah. Like to me, this could be very like everyone completes it and just Brad and Jody win. It's like, okay, cool.
Very possible. Very, very possible.
Let's like preview. So we don't need to go through every team and how they did this challenge because I think we're all saying it didn't really matter. But of the teams, if we just run them down, like who are sort of like the top two to watch in your opinion? So we have, well, we had Latariat and Kendall, Tyler and Jasmine, Nehemiah and Melinda, Jody and Brad, Casey and Kahuta, Tech and Ayana, Janelle and Darrell, and MJ and Jonae.
Yeah, in my head, I think the clear two would be Brad and Jody and Darrell and Janelle. Darrell and Janelle. I don't know if that's what I said. I think those would be the top two teams right now.
So I would have put Latarian and Kendall here before this for sure. I think Jody and Brad, based on how just like unbelievably Jody has seemingly performed every challenge, have to be up there. I agree. I called Janelle and Darrell as one to watch last week before they were partners. I feel very good about that now that they're partners. But I don't want to sleep on Nehemiah and Melinda because I love team chemistry. I think they have the best team chemistry, best working relationship. Melinda is hot fire motivated. They have great political standing somehow in the house, even though they've like narrowed themselves into like a tight five. So I would say they're in a little bit of a distant third behind the two teams you said.
Yeah, and I would put MJ and Jonae there. I mean, Jonae was fantastic last season, so I wouldn't put it past her again to do pretty well. But it remains to be seen how well MJ would do. So I think I would put them right in the mix too.
So I would say Casey and Kahuta, and then the new team of Latarian and Jasmine probably fall into the bottom tier of the three tiers, but not out of it at all. Just like a different tier.
So there's just is it just six teams? Is our math right?
No. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Who do we forget?
Ayana and Tech.
I think they're in that third tier probably. Yeah, also. Second tier upside.
Yeah, I think so. Depends on the right challenge component. They fluctuate between like the Melinda Nehemiah range and the MJ Jonae range.
Now, Ayana, I would say, is like almost unbeatable in an elimination, it seems. But if it's a paired elimination and Tech only won one elimination his whole career, you know, different factor.
Yep. Very, very true. Very true.
Okay. I thought Ayana was going to get mad about the life shield thing again. So let's break down the life shields. We have a lot of questions about this. So what happens is they go to teams and each person, so that would be Tech and Melinda, still have their life shields, and now they're at life shields apply to teams. This will be the only time the life shield actually, I was gonna say that completely undoes my theory that maybe they'll switch partners, because if each you win a life shield as a team moving forward, all right, ignore me, whatever, who cares. So this will be the only time there are two life shields. It totally neuters the voting. Mike Christensen says, after seeing the players figure out optimal strategy to disarm the life shield, would the switch to teams have been the perfect opportunity to change it up where the team that wins the elimination is just straight up immune while also getting one life shield between them?
Yeah, 100%. I think that's the move. That's what they should have done. It gave them this opportunity to do a real life audible when they had the chance. I don't know why they didn't take it, because clearly the life shield, like, they broke it. I mean, like, the fact that like this week it was such a sham, like, oh, let's just put up these two teams just to like watch it. I guess the only, it does add the component of taking away their vote, which, as I mentioned, as we get down to it, will matter, but I just don't think it matters enough that it's like worth the trade-off of it.
Well, I was gonna say, I think having not had an understanding that it took away your vote before, it does kind of change that it like actually shouldn't have been that easy to just like put people up, because again, if you're like putting, it explains really why Brad doesn't get put up and have to put his life shield out in the Ayana thing. I think I was really hard on Darrell and Jody for setting up Ayana in that way. It's like, well, Brad's a vote for them, so they need that vote. And it does also suggest like, oh, maybe it's not just to burn their life shield. It's they're a vote for the other side that I don't want to go in. So I'm going to neuter their vote. Like it makes it more interesting, and I wish I had an appreciation. It's probably my fault, but I wish I had appreciated that in earlier episodes to have thought more about it.
Yeah, it's almost like I wish there were, instead of like that middle group, I wish that middle group was its own alliance where it would really fluctuate like who was able to vote, what we would do. But now it was such a, like a more of a larger majority and like such a smaller minority. Like it doesn't really matter as much.
Well, Letarian and Jasmine are going to be really interesting. So do each teams have individual votes though? Because John A is, her number one is Jasmine, and Jasmine's with Letarian and Letarian's with the other side of the house. So
yeah, I think it's an individual vote. Interesting. Yeah. Because I mean, the way this went down, it was four people vote, like two teams voting, and it was 3-1. So I think each person voted individually.
The votes went so quick that it was like,
I know the votes went so quick after Darrell voted. I was waiting for more people to vote because like the way he said, I was like, oh, well, he's just throwing away his vote. That means nothing. Well, actually, it's going to mean something. And then like, no, it actually meant nothing.
RHAP out of context says it's so clear that Janae watches the new season because she's so aware of the game mechanics like the lifesaver. How can the show give her more credit that she is the mastermind of her alliance with many of the male champs? Are we sleeping on Janae? Is the show sleeping on Janae?
Yeah, I don't think the show's sleeping. I mean, they should have included that scene. I feel like they've given her a good confessionals explaining stuff. I mean, she just hasn't been like in the power spot to really show it the way other people have. But I think the show has depicted Janae pretty well.
Yeah, I think Janae is in a great spot. So we'll see as that goes. Kendall, my heart went out to Kendall when it's like she's got this connective tissue disorder. I was feeling for her for sure.
Yeah, I felt really bad. I mean, she was right on the verge of potentially winning last season. She was so great. I was really looking forward. I was so happy she was back this season. It was a big bummer how this kind of all played out for her.
Does this shed a little bit more light and excuse her a little bit of her like reluctance to jump through the trivia hole on last season?
I mean, it would if she like used that as an excuse, but I mean, she's done other stuff, so I'm not going to give her a pass on that.
I mean, she did have a reason to not jump this time and didn't take it, so who knows?
Yes, 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 yes.
All right, deliberation. I love the different approaches here. Like MJ and Janae, knowing they're pretty safe, are just like, I would like not to be the vote. Right. And Letarian's like, I don't shy away from being the vote.
And this is another point of like the difference between this season and last season. I feel like if this was last season, people would have been saying, oh, it's not fair. Kendall's hurt. We shouldn't vote them in. We're just going to vote for the other team out of fairness. And here it's like, no, we're sticking with our alliance. We're sticking with like the smart decision. And this is going to be the vote. So I like that still playing out like that.
Agreed for sure. I did think we were in trouble with a to be continued or Kendall gone when there was 9 minutes left and we were just turning to like a Jasmine retrospective. Yes. I was like, oh, and we are stalling for time.
Yeah, because I mean, they could have easily done a scenario where there was like no elimination or something like that the way Kendall got home. Yeah, so I was open to anything that was going to play out.
That's Brian open to anything, Cohen. That's what people say about you.
That was my biggest pitch when you watch the challenge. You just be open. You never know what's going to come your way.
Jasmine being safe. Nothing really to say about this. Like, what else could they have done besides making Jasmine safe here?
Yeah, I mean, the only other option would be, I mean, I was going to say you bring back the person who went home last week, but you're not going to do that because Tina quit. So you could do the person who went home the week before that, I guess. But we complain when the challenge proper does that. So like, I think Jasmine just got
I'll Venmo break. You $10 if in 3 seconds you could tell me who went home before Tina.
Oh God, who did Ayana beat? Ayana beat someone, I don't remember.
Nah.
Who was it?
I actually don't know because I am writing this down. I could name all of the guys. It was Kendall, then Tina. Who was the woman with the tattoos? That was 2 weeks ago, right?
I'm
missing three people who went home, so we'll move on. It's not just you. Okay. We'll get to it later because we got to do our thing at the end. That's what I was prepping for.
Right.
And I was $10. You know, I was nervous you might get it, so I wasn't underestimating you.
It was a fair price to set. Yeah, it was a fair price. But yeah, TJ laid it out. Like Jasmine, you caught a break. Like she caught a break. That's what happened. Like I think that's almost the fairest way to do it. Is she just doesn't compete.
Was it Sophia? Okay, sorry. No, that was some time ago. Okay, anyway.
I don't even remember what the elimination. What was the elimination 2 weeks ago? That was episode 4.
The coffins. The first elimination was the coffins.
The first elimination was episode 2.
Right, with the coffins with Derek, and yeah. That's with the woman with the tattoos, who Ayana whooped.
Was it the tic-tac-toe one? Was that episode 4?
Oh, tic-tac-toe. That was
when Ryan lost.
Ryan lost to Kahuta, and was that Sophia?
I guess so. I mean,
there's one other woman. There's the one with the tattoos, Sophia, Kendall, and Tina, and I can't think of the fifth woman. Oh, Katie, duh. Idiot.
Oh, yes. There you go.
Idiot Katie. Me, not idiot you. All right, let's move on. What's the woman with the tattoos name? Linda? Laura? Don't at me. I don't care. Okay. So I was also a little bit upset too because I think Tyler says this in such a classy way, which is like, it's my fault. I didn't advocate for a better partner. I didn't do better or whatever. But like I'll say what he doesn't want to say. Jasmine's the reason they lost. And now Jasmine gets a free pass and he's got to go up against the house Letarian.
Yeah, it's not. I can understand the frustration. I definitely can. But at the same time, like you lose with a partner, you go like you should both go in. So like I would have felt more bad for, like if he had obviously if he wins, he's not going to go home. But like if I would have felt more his frustration is if Jasmine stayed to compete with Kendall and like Jasmine lost her round to Kendall. He wins his round and then like the women go again and then Jasmine loses again. And that's why he gets sent home. Like there, I would almost understand his frustration the most, but he still lost, you know, to Letarian twice. So that's fair. He lost.
100%. And that's why I feel like I can come on and be like, I'm going to say it. It sucks. It wasn't, you know, like he didn't get himself into this mess and he couldn't get himself out of it. But if he were on screen being like, this isn't even my fault, Jasmine, we'd be like, you're a douche. You lost, you know, like, so I feel like he handles it well. Yeah, he handles it well. And I'm going to say what he didn't say because he's not a douche, which is it sucks because it's not his fault. They lost the challenge.
So like,
and he's not even saying I shouldn't be in it. He's like, she should also be in this.
Right, which is very fair. Right. Which is, I mean, she would have been. I mean, you know, just bad luck or good luck for her.
What do you think of the new shape of the pole for Pole Russell?
Yeah, I don't really like it that much.
It's an old man's version. It's like for the senior version of Pole Russell.
I think
Bop
so.
It senior. Like, it was very...
Also, before that, very funny confessional from Jasmine saying, like, if she somehow wins the show, she's going to, like, take Kendall out to a beautiful dinner to, you know, or name a child after her.
Kendall's a nice name.
Yeah, I think it's so. It's not a bad name.
But yeah, everybody remembers from last season, even us, even the two of us who don't remember anything, that Letarian absolutely smoked in Pole Russell. He is he's the All-Stars version of Kyle in Pole Russell.
Yes. Yeah. He dominated and he only dominated this one again. I mean, Tyler never really seemed to have the edge at all in other rounds. So this is his game. If you see that pole on the ground, hope LT's not there.
You know, when they cut to the person in Pole Russell in a sling, like in an ace bandage, it's not going well. I was like, it's a full wrap. It's a wrap on his wrist and it's a wrap for him in the game. Yeah.
I mean, he basically should have just done that confessional like in his house and be like, oh, that's not good. Tyler's in his house. Not good for his chances to still be in the game.
We get an unbelievable speech from Letarian. Like, again, I talked about Nehemiah's commitment, but like, and we talked about Nelson's commitment. I mean, Letarian is up there with the most committed to the challenge. If you come for me, you're going to get me. Point blank, period. I'm not bragging. I'm not boasting. Win or lose, I'm giving you business. I mean, put that on a t-shirt, Nelson, and I will buy that loyalty. Like, it is unbelievable. I love Letarian.
It gave me very much vibes of like that viral YouTube video where that British kid's like, I don't deal with if buts and maybes. I deal with absolutes. They gave me a lot of those vibes. Oh, maybe it's just on TikTok. I figured it was from YouTube. I've seen it on TikTok. It is. Every time that video crosses my page, I die laughing.
I gave me very don't come for me unless I send for you Kenny Moore vibes. So
that's it. Well, it's a combination of the two.
It was excellent. It was just chef's kiss. We love it. We love Letarian. I was rooting for Tyler just because I love Tyler, but I'm not going to be upset with an LT win.
No, I like Tyler a lot. I thought he kind of got the short end of the stick for a lot of this season. I don't really know why, but I hope he comes back. But obviously that's part of our one segment. So we'll keep it to that.
Well, let's talk about Tyler's exit here, because he gets a very strange goodbye from TJ. You're a challenger. You're a gamer. Take care. Like, compliments. Goodbye.
That's always the weird thing with like the challenge, where it's like he's someone like, oh, you're a great survivor. You're a great like Big Brother player. Like when you say like you're a great challenger, it needs to be like a better word, like a great competitor. Like, I don't know what the word is, but like challenger is not it. So like, I don't know what it is, but we got to figure out a better word.
You don't like gamer. I don't like gamer.
Gamer's actually okay, but like, it's too broad.
Tyler wasn't a good gamer. That's like the only thing that he didn't do well. He didn't have like the social strat to get him into a good partnership.
Mm-hmm. Which is surprising, because it's like, like you said, he was very likable, but like, he didn't push hard enough to like lock down like a core group.
All right, let's rank. I mean, I think we're kind of done with the episode, right?
Yeah, that was basically it. Yeah, that was it.
So we haven't done this in a while, but I had proposed that we rank who we want. Is it who we want or the likely? I think it should be who we want.
I think, yeah, who we want. Because who, like, the likelihood is like, I mean, who the hell knows? So
who we want. All right, so who we want to come back in order from most to least. I have two lists. I have men, then women. Like, I haven't integrated the list.
Okay.
Would you like me to go first?
Sure. Well, I'm gonna pull up the list as well, just so I have it in front of me. Yeah. So I know exactly who.
So for the men, I think Tyler takes my number one spot. I reserve the right to change it, but in my recency bias brain, I would like Tyler to have a return ticket and come back immediately on the season. So Tyler's number one. Two, full bias. I love Ryan Kehoe. Everyone knows it. I'm a Kehoe for sure. So Ryan is my number two. Then it gets tricky. I think I am ultimately, probably before the end of the season, Derek K would go here. But if I listen to my heart right now, I'm between Steve and Derek C. Because I think I'm actually putting Steve in my third spot. I was higher on wanting Steve back than you were last week. I think Steve showed a lot of promise. He's sort of free agent style. He doesn't come in with a lot of baggage. He doesn't come in with a lot of connections. I thought he was the one who came up with the lifesaver flush. They seem to credit Casey this week. I don't know. I think Steve showed a willingness and an ability to play and got cut a little short. I'm putting Derek 4 and Derek K 5. But overall, I'd kind of like to see all of them back. So it's not, we lost five good people.
You mean Derek C 5?
I put Derek C 4 and Derek K 5.
Yeah, I think definitely Tyler number one for me. I would still put Derek K 2. I would put Ryan 3. Steve 4. Derek 5. Yeah.
I think Derek K will ultimately move up in like when I'm less emotional and like more distance between these people going out. Mm-hmm. But I didn't really feel bad for Derek leaving. So that's where I'm at there.
Yeah. So then for the girls' side, I would put definitely Kendall number one. Then I would put, I'd put Sophia 2, Katie 3, Leah 4, and then Tina 5 because the way she went out.
So that's almost my exact list. I put Katie above Sophia.
Yeah, that's fair. I was torn between those two. Yeah, but I think, yeah, that's pretty solid.
Pretty solid.
Pretty good.
All right, that's it.
All right. You can subscribe. RobsWebsite.com/challenge iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at
Leave us reviews there, by the way, too. Yes. You know, let us know. Are you listening to this separately? Did this work? Should we have just been doing one podcast? You know, let us know.
Please do. Follow me on Twitter, Colin with a C, Brian with an I, _. Not that if you, for some reason, you're only listening to this podcast and not watching, they are doing a lot of Paramount Plus like free month promotions right now. So it's a good time if you want just to start watching. So you can go.
I think
do that.
We don't say this lightly, and we are not in any way sponsored by Paramount Plus, but
oh, certainly not.
I don't say this lightly. Like, it is worth watching. I almost feel like last season, maybe we were like, you cannot watch. Like, I really think this is, I watch this sometimes before I watch the finale for this before, but otherwise I've like watched this before I watched the challenge proper.
No, I act when people say like, oh, I think I kind of like, I stopped watching the challenge in the middle. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of the right decision. But then I say like, you should actively watch All Stars 2. It is genuinely very good television. So 100% watch All Stars 2 as you should. If you're listening to an All Stars 2 podcast, where can they follow you?
At Lash Tweets.
That's it. Okay. We'll be back next week for Lucky Number Episode 7. Until then, have a good one.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.